Consumers are shopping early for deals this holiday season. That's why you need to take advantage of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Everyone loves the Thunderstorm. It doesn't take up any floor space, there are no filters to replace, and it's only one-third the cost of those big, bulky air purifiers. Go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code Howie3 at checkout.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. A lot of different stories I want to hit in this last hour, including what's happening in New York City. Mayor Eric Adams has made some pretty strong, decisive choices over the last 24 hours. And also a new poll that shows most Americans don't want Trump or Biden to run in 2024. Plus a story I shared with Howie yesterday about California and a panel that is estimating $569 billion, just a little bit more, in reparations is owed to Black residents. And we'll talk about how that will work out. And one other thing here to add into the stories. Joe Biden's student loan debt handout is again taking another hit. It is put on pause. Elizabeth Warren, I saw yesterday, because today's the 2nd, so yesterday was the 1st, and the tweet said it was December 1st, but it might just be an old tweet she keeps regurgitating where she says, Joe Biden has absolutely every legal authority. I'm sorry, that's not my Elizabeth Warren voice. What was I thinking? Let me do this over. Joe Biden has absolutely every legal authority to cancel student loan debt, and he must act now. It's something like that. You get the gist. Of course, that's false. We could go back to Nancy Pelosi just a few months ago telling us that, in fact, he doesn't have that authority. He can't do that. And Joe himself admitted he can't do that. But the fake Indian keeps repeating this over and over again. And now it's getting that little context added on Twitter, which really cracks me up. And so we'll talk about that as well. But before we get to any of that, I wanted to offer my sincerest, most heartfelt thank you to a member of the Grace Curley Show and the Howie Carr Radio Network, Matt. He has been the backbone of this show for a very long time. Anytime we have sound, anytime we have anything we need, whether it's getting a guest on, screening the callers, cutting up the podcast, there's one person in this studio who's really making a lot of this work every single day. And he does so without complaining. He never, ever has to be told something twice. He's a very quick learner. And he is honestly one of the most reliable, diligent, and constant people that I've ever had the pleasure of working with. So truly cannot say enough nice things. Plus, he's just a really funny guy. So thank you so much to Matt from the Howie Carr Radio Network. We're excited to see what you do next. And we really do appreciate everything you've done for us over the months and months and months. And you really made this show so much more than I even thought it could be. So thank you so much to Matt. I appreciate you. I know the listeners appreciate you. I know Howie and Kathy and everybody is really grateful we had you on board for as long as we did. And whoever gets you next is very, very lucky, and they better treat you right, Matt, or you just call me. So thank you to Matt for being a friend. All right, now let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the Big Apple. You know what? I've got another Matt on the board. This place is just full of Matts today on Friday. New Matt is what we shall call you. New Matt, I have a favor. Can you pull up, we played this yesterday, can you pull up a little bit of New York, New York sound, because I'm feeling like I want to enjoy the spirit of the Big Apple. Do we got it? Let's see. Let's see if Matt can
start spreading the news. I'm leaving today.
A lot of people are leaving today, but they're not leaving to go to New York City. They're leaving to get out of New York City. It's called the mass exodus. Now, a big part of that problem is that there is a huge, huge issue with mental health in New York City, and it's causing tremendous violence and unrest. And it's making a lot of people that live there and that really live in New York City and they pay a premium so they can enjoy restaurants, they can enjoy the nightlife, they can enjoy the atmosphere. And that's all gone right now because of this, because violence has become the norm, because lunatics have kind of become just something that everyone's used to. And it's a real issue. And I'm not saying that to sound like I lack compassion. I'm just stating a fact. So the reason I bring this up is because Eric Adams has this plan to get mentally ill people off of the New York City streets. And I wanted to know what people make of this. Because when I hear it, when I read it, I don't think it sounds like a bad idea. And I don't want to sit here and criticize, because for a long time I've been looking at a lot of the situations, whether it be like machete wielding people or people pushing people into subways. And I think something has to happen. Something's got to give. But then when I put this out to my Twitter followers, a lot of people said, well, you don't want to put this much power in the hands of authority figures to decide who's unwell and who should be locked away. So I think there's a conversation to be had, but let me give you some of the facts before you weigh in. Mayor Eric Adams said Thursday he's doing what his predecessors were too scared to do by ordering cops to take mentally ill homeless people into custody to psychiatric evaluations. Another criticism of this plan that I saw a lot on social media, and that I do think has some validity to it, is that this is another responsibility for cops. And when something goes awry, as it usually does, the cops are going to be the ones that bear a lot of the blame for it. They're going to be the ones made out to be the villains, the enemies. And that's a part of this where I can fully comprehend why people would say this isn't going to work. We're going into uncharted waters where others were afraid to go, Adams said. Anyone else punted this issue, and fear cannot stymie us from doing what is right. Now, he spoke with reporters. Everyone is telling us not to do this initiative and follow the law that's already on the books. Are they saying let's continue the policy of ignoring people who are unable to take care of basic needs? I mean, even the Legal Aid Society sent out a press release zeroing in on what we're doing. He added, so you're never going to find a policy that every New Yorker is going to agree with, but everyone agrees that this is inhumane for people who live in this condition. He unveiled his plan on Tuesday following a recent surge in horrifying subway attacks. Adams said cops and other city workers would be trained to identify people who can't take care of themselves. Again, that's very vague, and I am going to need to see a lot more details before I get behind this. Beyond such obvious cases as someone who's out in the middle of the winter walking with no shoes on and hallucinating. Now, I haven't been to New York City in a while. I was there, I think it was last summer. And in the short time I was there, it was like less than 24 hours, I saw a man walking down the street holding some sort of like ball and chain with spikes on it. And that was within 2 hours of me being in the city. So I do not doubt that there are plenty of people who would fit into this category. My questions are, what are you going to do with those people? How are you going to ensure that the people who are in charge of deciding don't take advantage of that or, you know, go overboard? And what are some of the rules in place here to stop this from getting to a point where the authority figures can decide whoever they want? Hey, you're crazy. You're coming with us. I do think you have to keep that in mind, which might sound extreme, but that could happen. Now, I do have to fight back a little bit, though, when people say, well, this is a bad idea, this is a bad idea. Because the only other ideas I've been hearing from New York politicians is, if you run across a crazy person in the subway, threaten to spill your soda on them or ask them if you remember them from high school, and then maybe that will stop them from, you know, shooting you in the back. So I'm open to hearing suggestions. Hey, they might not be perfect, but I'll tell you right now, people in the Big Apple need something. And they're not getting it from other politicians. So I threw this out there today and I said, do people like this idea? Do people hate this idea? Does anyone see any good in it? Is it all bad? 844-500-4242. I'll take your calls on this. Eric Adams is defending his plan to get mentally ill people off the streets of NYC. He says he's going into uncharted waters. I want to know what you think. Is this destined to fail? Is there any way they could make this work? He's saying they're going to use methods of telemedicine and a trained clinical person, and they're going to give assistance to those officers and those mental health professionals that are going to be on the field. You know who I would love to hear from on this is some cops. Because if you're a cop, you've got the weight of the world on your shoulders. I'm sure there's a lot of cops out there going, Oh, yeah, this is going to... No way this could go wrong. 844-500-4242. We got to talk about some really good news here, though. Before we get into this heavy stuff, let's talk about it's Christmas time. This is the time of year you go on to parties, and then in between, you're not doing your grocery shopping. You don't want to go spend tons of money at the supermarket. You just want to stay home, get cozy. And I know what you're tempted to do. You're tempted to call up and order delivery, order that greasy food, feel gross, rather than making a nice home-cooked meal. But you'll be a lot less tempted if you have a freezer stock full of delicious, great quality Omaha steaks. Now, giving the gift of Omaha steaks is a home-run idea. If you're one of those people who doesn't like to just go through a list and get people stuff they don't need for Christmas, it starts to feel very transactional. You know, oh, I remember I used to go to the mall and say, all right, what am I going to get my brother a button-up? He didn't want a button-up. I didn't want to buy him a button-up. But that was all I'd end up getting. In this case, you can find a gift for someone. You can curate a gift package of all these delicious foods they're going to love. They're going to be so excited about. And here's the best part. They're actually going to eat. Nothing's going to waste. I hate seeing waste. The steak experts at Omaha Steaks have put together special curated gift packages to help take the guesswork out of gifting and make you a holiday hero. So go to omahasteaks.com, use code GRACE at checkout to get $30 off your order. You can send an assortment of mouth-watering favorites, including ultra-juicy burgers, filet mignon, air-chilled boneless chicken. Everything's delicious. Everything can be ready in a flash. And if you get your order in right away, you'll beat the shipping rush. So go to omahasteaks.com, use promo code GRACE at checkout. Omaha Steaks is a gift from the heart, a gift that will be remembered with every unforgettable bite. You really will be the star of this Christmas. Everyone will be saying, hey, did you hear what Joe got me? He got me my own box of Omaha Steaks. And every time they make one of those, every time they make a burger, they're going to think of you. So go to omahasteaks.com. Don't forget to use promo code GRACE at checkout to get that extra $30 off your order. Minimum order may be required. One more time for all the people out there. OmahaSteaks.com. Use promo code GRACE at checkout to get that extra $30 off. Weigh in on what you think about this. So we've got Eric Adams. He's got this new idea. And this is an idea that, you know, really a lot of cities could use something like this. I'm not saying it's a good idea. I'm not saying it's going to work. But I'm just saying that a lot of cities across this country are dealing with this exact issue. It's not just New York City, of dealing with people who are mentally ill, who are out on the streets, and who are wreaking havoc. And while you can feel compassion for them, you also have to start thinking of solutions and what's going to make everybody safer. And so I don't know if this is the plan. I don't know how cops would feel about this or social workers, but I'm curious what you think. 844-500-4242. We will take your calls when we come back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back, everybody. Today's poll question is brought to you by JJ Manning Auctioneers. Whether residential, commercial, or land, JJ Manning Auctioneers can get your property sold now. To learn more, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Matt, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Should Kanye West have been banned from Twitter?
Yes, I understand why people don't agree with me. I can see the other side of, listen, free speech. There's always going to be nuts. There's still nuts on there right now. But I do think that if Elon Musk sets his mind to setting up a standard here, then there would be a way, and maybe I'm naive and maybe I'll be proven wrong, but there would be a way to curtail these kind of mental breakdowns where people just start spewing this and really creating a lot of danger for an entire community of people. And I know for a lot of people, they get mad about that. Oh, well, you know, but you go on there and you say that you like Hitler and you don't think Hitler was a bad guy and you don't think the Nazis were bad. And I can't sit here and say that I don't think that's dangerous. And when I hear that people in synagogues are getting, you know, triple the threats because of it, I would feel like a phony if I said that wouldn't bother me. And it does bother me, but it would bother me even more if I was Jewish, if my family were Jewish and they were going to these things and this was just allowed to run rampant. So maybe I'm not following what I would be following if circumstances were different. Maybe it does make me a bit of a hypocrite. But the way I feel about it right now from the conversations I've had is that if Elon Musk figures out a way to have one standard and a very clear standard of what is tolerated and what is not, and what veers into hate speech versus what is just unpopular opinion, I think they could make this better. So I'm going to say, yeah, I do think he should have been suspended.
With 57%, the leading answer is no.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about Mayor Eric Adams. He is defending a plan to get mentally ill people off the New York City streets. I threw this out to social media. I said, what do you make of this? I'd especially love to hear from New Yorkers. Here are some of the responses I've received. And if you agree or if you disagree, you can weigh in. It's 844-500-4242. One person said, I'd like to see more details. Where are they taking them? Are these graduating levels of care? You can't just detox someone or prescribe a pill and be done with them. There needs to be continued programs for willing participants. Well, what's interesting about that is Bill de Blasio's wife, she got tons of money for some sort of mental health initiative. And clearly it didn't have that big of an impact on the city. But I don't even know what ended up happening with it. Drew says, I'm curious what ambulance services and emergency room staff think. Once again, police will be made to be the bad guys. Now, that is something I agree with. This is a real... The police are always in a tough spot. And if they now are in control of deciding who's, you know, unfit to be wandering around on the streets, I don't see this being a positive for them. And I don't see this being an easy job for them. And I do see them getting a lot of grief from people, as per usual. Another person says, what happens after the evaluation? Ever tried to get a mentally ill person to willingly and consistently take their meds, lock them up, and force meds on them for the rest of their lives? I don't have a solution either. That's from Patty. And I actually admire that, because a lot of people like to criticize and then they forget the fact that they don't have a solution. But Patty just owns it. She says, I don't have a solution either. Laughing Libertarian says, if they are a threat to their self or others, it is a good idea. If not, it gives too much discretion to the state. I also doubt they have workable facilities for the people they take. There's a lot of reasons to be skeptical of this plan. I do not blame people at all. On Wednesday afternoon, the NYPD issued a statement that said it was currently in the process of aligning its policy, guidance, and training in conformance with the mayor's directive with the department that the department received on Tuesday. And hours later, they released a statement that said, to be clear, every city agency received this directive yesterday. However, we have been working with the mayor's office for months regarding this important initiative. I'm very skeptical, but I do have to say, kind of like that last comment Patty said, it's a solution. You might not like it, but they're offering up an idea. And that's more than we've seen in New York City in quite some time. All right, when we come back, we're going to have a little fun for this last segment. We're going to play Who Said That with Emma Foley. The number, if you want to call in and potentially win a T-shirt. You could win a Make Gas Cheap Again shirt. According to Joe Biden, though, Matt, gas is already cheap. Can I have that sound cut? Joe Biden told me just the other day that gas is cheap and nobody's talking about it. Do you see that one?
But look, folks, gas prices are down. And you barely hear anything about it right now. They're continuing to go down. And there's a lot more that's going to happen. They're down more than $1.50 a gallon since the summer. And they continue to fall. And our economy continues to grow.
Well, I'm going to continue to give away Make Gas Cheap Again shirts because I still think the sentiment rings true. So if you want to get on the line and win one of these shirts, you got to participate in Who Said That with Emma Foley. The number is 844-500-4242. Get on the line now. This is The Grace Curley Show. We'll be right back.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Today has been full of disagreements. And I told Emma when I started, I said, you know what? Today's one of those days. I'm going to tick a lot of people off. And I don't mean to. I'm just trying to be honest, trying to figure things out. But alas, that is the way the cookie crumbles. All right, now we're going to have a little fun, though. Whether you agree with me on Kanye West, whether you agree with me on New York City, that's all over. We're moving on to a new but very quickly becoming a favorite segment on The Grace Curley Show, and that is Who Said That, starring Emma Foley. Now, Emma, let's give people a little rundown of how this game works.
So I give the option, is it person A or person B? And then I give a quote, and callers will guess who said the quote. So today, the options are Sam Bankman-Fried, SBF, or a notorious con man. So we've got different options for our con men. We've got Bernie Madoff. We've got Jordan Belfort, Charles Ponzi. So we will see if SBF, his quotes, confuse the listeners.
It's amazing how every week I think, who is she going to pick? Like, who's going to be the person who's in the news? And every week you do seem to have someone who is very, very much so at the center of attention. And SBF, for people who don't know, Sam Bankman-Fried, he was the creator of FTX, this cryptocurrency exchange that has since gone kerplunk, and he's lost billions of dollars for a lot of people. He went from being a multi-billionaire to only having $100,000 in his bank account. Not saying that's chump change, but for him it is. And strangely, though, Emma, something I noticed before we get to the calls, the media, they've definitely cooled off on the slobber fest, which they were having with Sam Bankman-Fried for a long time, but they haven't turned on him in the same way they've turned on, I don't know, let's say Elon Musk.
He's definitely gotten a lot of interviews, whereas I don't think most criminals get that many interviews.
And they're kind of gentle interviews, too. My idea yesterday was you got to sit someone down with SBF who lost money with SBF. You know, George Stephanopoulos is not going to do a great job no matter who he's interviewing. But if you get a guy who lost $10 billion to sit down with SBF, you might get more pointed questions.
Right, right.
Now, before we get to the calls here, stay on the line. The number is 844-500-4242. Emma's going to give you the quote. I do want to just play a little bit of what I'm talking about. This is the media. I'm guessing it's before his downfall. This was the media gushing over Sam Bankman-Fried, the owner, the creator, the mastermind between of the now failed FTX. There's so many letters involved in this. Let's play cut 14, please.
Sam Bankman-Fried is really becoming the industry's lifeline during a crisis lately. I'm fascinated, endlessly fascinated with Sam Bankman-Fried's role in all of this.
You've been now described as the JP Morgan, if you will, of the crypto business.
A lot of people called you the savior of crypto, the patron saint of crypto, the Michael Jordan of crypto, if you will.
Sam Bankman-Fried.
Sam Bankman-Fried, the J.P. Morgan of
Fried. SBF, JPM.
Do you know SBF? I think it's cool that the guy has just initials, SBF.
Some on Twitter calling him the hero right now of the industry. There's comparisons to Warren Buffett back in the financial crisis. Or if you go way back, J.P. Morgan in the panic of 1907, bailing out the banks before the Fed was even created.
Sam Bankman-Fried is trying to play the role of J.P. Morgan. The original JP Morgan.
One key figure we've talked about has emerged to help stabilize the ecosystem. That is Sam Bankman-Fried.
All right, I think we have enough. But wow, they really did love him, didn't they? No wonder they're having a slow come down from this like amazing feeling they had about SBF. And before, so Emma said she's going to give you a quote. It's either going to be Sam Bankman-Fried or it's going to be a notorious con man. And actually yesterday we were playing sound of SBF's interview on ABC with George Stephanopoulos. And he actually mentioned one of the famous con men who I'm sure is in your list. Can I have SBF mentioning Bernie Madoff?
A lot of people look at you and see Bernie Madoff.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's who I am at all, but I understand why they're saying that. People lost money, and people lost a lot of money. And I mean, at the end of the day, look, there's a question of what happened and why and who did what. What caused the meltdown, and I think that is reads very differently, right? When you look at the classic Bernie Madoff story, there was no real business. there. The whole thing, as I understand it, I think, was just one big Ponzi scheme, right? FTX, that was a real business.
According to SBF, so take it with a grain of salt. Okay, so here we go. Let's start. Who said that? Your options, like Emma said, are SBF, Sam Bankman-Fried, or a notorious con man. Let's start with Nick. You are first up today. Are you ready, Nick?
Hey, I'm ready.
Here we go.
Sometimes the obvious product is the right one. Other times it's the lazy one.
Who said it, Nick?
Oh, the creep, the FTX creep.
Yes, you are correct.
Very good, Nick. The FTX creep. Okay, we'll accept that. Yeah, he means SBF. 844-500-4242. We do have a couple lines open. If you want to win a Make Gas Cheap Again shirt, get on the lines. Let's go to Todd. You're next up with Emma Foley. Are you ready for your quote, Todd?
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
Who said that? I went looking for trouble and I found it.
Bernie.
That is Charles Ponzi.
Now, are we going to give it to him? He guessed a specific con man.
He's right. He's right. It's not SBF.
Okay, it's not SBF. We're going to give it to you, Todd. We're going to give you, you won there. You're entered to win here. Let's go to Lee. You are next up on the Grace Curley Show. Are you ready for your quote, Lee?
Yes. Bye, old Matt.
Bye, old Matt. Oh, I hope Matt heard that. I know, we're going to miss him. All right, Lee, here's your quote.
The altruistic thing to do is to take chances. Seek out the opportunities with the biggest upside, not the ones which are safest.
Friedman.
You are correct.
Very good. We got a lot of winners today. 844-500-4242. You know what the dead giveaway was with that? The altruistic.
Because he's so altruistic.
He was a member of Effective Altruism, which is, I was reading about it. It's this cult of people who really buy into every single grift you can imagine. And I thought, so really it's just far left progressives in America today, right?
Spending everyone else's money. So yeah.
I don't think it takes a lot to be considered a member of EA as long as you vote Democrat. All right, let's go to Bert. You are next up. And who said that? Are you ready for your quote, Bert?
I hope so.
Me too.
If I earn $1 million a week and the average American earns $1,000 a week, then when I spend $20,000, it's the equivalent of the average American spending $20.
I think that's probably just a con man.
That is Jordan Belfort.
He's the Wolf of Wall Street, right?
Right. Yep.
Very good. Very good, Bert. 844-500-4242. Let's go to Bob. You are next up on Who Said That. Are you ready for your quote, Bob?
I've been ready since 2:30.
Oh, excellent. Here we go.
A pretty good trader is someone who gets half of things right and changes their mind a lot.
I'm going to say that's SBF, but I'm not really sure.
That is SBF.
Really? I would have guessed somebody else. He said, read that quote to me again.
A good trader is someone who gets half of things right and changes their mind a lot.
I don't know if he got half of things
right. He didn't
right.
get much right.
Yeah, I'm thinking he actually got more than half of things wrong based off what I've been seeing. All right, Emma, before we get to more people here, I want to play the second media gushing over SBF. These supercuts don't bode well for the mainstream media. I don't know how they keep getting duped by people. I mean, you think about everyone they make into a hero. The surest way to know someone might be going to prison is if Democrats start talking about this person and playing Hero by Mariah Carey in the background and floating out the idea that maybe they'll run for president someday. You've got Andrew Cuomo. You've got Michael Avenatti. Every person that they idolize turns into a villain.
Then you ask yourself, who are we being duped by now?
Oh, did you hear that, Jared? That was like a cliffhanger by Emma Foley.
I missed that.
Who are we being duped by now? Who's, you know, SBF we know about, but who's the next Democrat to fall as far as who's running a con on us? It's a good question. I don't know. I have to think about that one. So here's the media gushing over SBF part two. This is Cut 15.
The aforementioned 29-year-old gazillionaire, FTX founder and CEO Sam Bankman-Fried. I love you, Sam. I'm just jealous. It's nothing against you.
The CEO, though, lives a relatively understated life for a billionaire. He drives a Toyota Corolla to FTX's offices in the Bahamas. He lives with 10 roommates and a golden doodle named Gopher. Sometimes sleeps under his desk on a beanbag chair as well.
You aim toward a more sophisticated
I have a couple of things. I have a couple of things I want to say about this. Every reporter, if you can even call them that, every journalist who talked about SBF like this, like they had a high school crush on him, should be required to sit in front of a camera, have it played back, and then respond to it. That should be their punishment. Because there's no way you hear yourself like that and then you can't be embarrassed. And the second part is, this whole thing about glorifying all of his quirkiness, like, oh, he slept on a beanbag and he lived with 10 people and, you know, he drove a Toyota Corolla. Why is this supposed to impress me? Is that supposed to make me trust him more?
Corolla drivers are totally trustworthy.
Yeah, there's nothing to worry about as long
as... He's just like a real person.
He's just like a regular dude. He's just like you. He's SBF.
He's lunch bucket Sam Bankman-Fried.
That really is what they were trying to do. They were trying to make him relatable.
He grew up in Claymont, Delaware, Scranton coal mines, and the battlefield with the guy, Marcus, whoever.
The Brandywine thing. Yeah, well, you know what, though? When you really... They can use all these things like, oh, we'll say he drives a Toyota Corolla. That will get people to trust him. But when you really drill down, he lives in a multi-million dollar home in the Bahamas with all of these people. He plays video games all day long, Emma, and he doesn't like to look people in the eye. If you went in for a meeting with SBF, he would Zoom you in the same room as you because he didn't want to look people in the eye. That, to me, doesn't scream relatable.
No, I would be totally turned off, but I also wouldn't have invested in FTX and did not invest in FTX. So I'm better off than all these people.
You dodged a major bullet.
Major.
Do you want to know something else? I don't want to brag.
Did you invest in FTX?
I, too, did not invest in FTX. Jared, care to share? Is this too private information?
I am not a crypto guy. I own no crypto whatsoever.
Look at the three of us.
No fractions of crypto.
You know what they call us? Smart investors. They should really start interviewing people like us on how we avoided this, because I'm not a multi-billionaire, but I also didn't lose any money with Sam Bankman-Fried. So that's one pro in my column. That's one thing I'm doing right. Emma Foley, thank you so much for coming on, and please give people your Twitter handle, tell them where they can follow you, tell them where they can read your current articles at the Howie Carr Show. Go ahead.
You can follow me on Twitter at Emma Foley Media, and you can read my most recent columns at HowieCarrShow.com.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We will be back. Speaking of Howie Carr, we're going to be back with Howie, and we've got a lot to ask him about. I don't know if he was at the state dinner last night. I don't know if he's going to be invited to the radio journalist party at the White House. All of these things, we are waiting with bated breath to hear from the captain. So don't go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Grace Curley Show. Don't forget to go to gracecurleyshow.com and click on store. There might be some Aviva Trattoria gift cards left. I'm not even sure if there are, but double check to make sure. If there are, you get the last one. You can get a $50 gift card to Aviva Trattoria for $25. That's gracecurleyshow.com. Click on store. And while you're browsing the web, go to fallensbein.com and book your room for the listener getaway. That's happening December 9th and 10th. I'm so excited to see all of you. It's going to be a really, really fun weekend, and I want you to be involved. So go to fallensbein.com to get your room. LA County will reinstate mask mandate when COVID case threshold hits orange. This was always a confusing part of this for me. We had all different levels of threshold. We had colors like green, orange, yellow, red. We also had numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4. But I guess in LA County, if it hits orange, that's when the masks come back, because that's when you really, really got to pay attention. All right, the Viva Trattorias are sold out, unfortunately. So if you weren't able to get one, I do apologize. But definitely check out Viva Trattoria and check out their website. They have a lot of great deals for gift cards. Joining us now is Howie Carr. Howie, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Grace.
Now, Howie, our cup here in Boston really runneth over. I can't imagine the envy that you're feeling. First, we get the Royals. Then we get Joe Biden. He's on his way here now. I mean, really, how much more is one city expected to take?
It's pretty amazing, isn't it? And the Patriots, they got a touchdown last night from a guy named Marcus de la Lafayette. Oh, excuse me. His name was Marcus Jones.
Marcus is in the news this week. Howie, I just want to go back here, though, to the Royal Tour, because they were in Somerville, but a lot of people, including yourself, don't feel like they got a tour of the real Somerville. Do you think that some of the people that were showing them around Somerville might have glossed over some of its history?
Yeah, I think, when his grandmother, Queen Elizabeth, was there in 1976. She came in, and one of the state reps from Somerville bit a Boston police officer in the on the arm, and then gave a phony name to the police when she was arrested. But she was later had the charges dismissed after she hired Whitey Bulger's brother as her lawyer. So these are the kind of little historical tidbits that I think should have been shared with the foreign freeloaders.
Yeah, these are the little gems that they would have been more aware of had people in Boston thought to themselves, listen, Prince William, Princess Kate are coming. We got to get Howie Carr here to tell them about Rita Plunkett. That's the kind of thing that people should have been thinking of, Howie. You know what I'm going to say? I'm just going to say it. They dropped the ball.
How about this? Hey, Willie, you ever see that movie, The Godfather? Yeah. You know the Jewish gangster, Mo Green? Yeah, that was one of our guys. Bobo Petricone. Yeah, he drove the getaway car when Bernie McLaughlin got whacked by Buddy McClain. He got arrested right here. We're going up Winter Hill. He got arrested right there at the Capitol Cafe.
This would have been like one of your mob tours, Howie, except it would have been for royalty. I mean, it really would have been a cross-section of so much of American history.
We get to the top of the hill, we go into the garage where they used to keep the boilers, the hot cars that they used. You know, that's where they took the big pinky ring off of Indian Joe after John Matarano shot him in the back of the head when he tried to open his Bible. Howie Winter was driving.
You know what I'm going to say right now? I'm going to tell everyone that this was the Royals' loss. This wasn't our loss, this was their loss, because they could have learned all of this if only the captain had been brought in for this job. Howie, I know you've got a great show planned for today. It's obviously Friday, which means we're going to have police blotter facts in a little bit, and everyone should tune in to talk to Howie, to listen to Howie. He's got plenty to cover. Joe Biden's had a very busy week, especially considering his weeks are usually made up of a whole lot of nothing. So Howie's going to have sound from that, a lot more for you. Thank you to everyone for tuning in this week, and once again, thank you to Matt for being an excellent coworker and always doing an A-plus job. We are sorely going to miss him. We'll see you all on Monday. Over and out.